Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, here along with Dustin Hawkinsmith on what we're dubbing Man Crush Monday. Dustin, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm thinking about that old Bengals song. You remember from the 80s, Just Another Manic Monday? It's just another Man Crush Monday for us. There interesting topic, I think.
An 80s song reference. Love it, Dustin. Yes, Man Crush Monday, to let everyone know, if you're not listening to the show until Tuesday or Wednesday, tough luck. Man Crush Monday, we like the alliteration, and we're recording on Monday, so we're going with that. What Man Crush Monday is about is, we've talked about this over the years here on the Keystone Sports Network. We all have our favorite players. For some reason, they're not necessarily the superstars, but we as individuals develop what we call our man crush on those particular players. And Dustin and I thought it would be fun to talk about those guys today. We will get to all of that, though, starting in quarter number two. Quarter number one, let's talk news and notes. It's the off season, Dustin, so it hasn't been crazy busy this past week, but there has been a little bit of news, and that's along the, well, I guess I'm calling it coaching staff moves. A couple new, well, one new name, one returning name. Dow Loggins has joined the staff as an analyst. Not a big name, not a name I knew. He was most recently the offensive coordinator with the Jets. He also has some OC time previously with the Dolphins and Bears. It can't be bad news bringing in a guy with an NFL background, can it?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the NFL for 15 years. Quarterbacks coach for the Browns at one point, Titans, Bears, Jets, and Dolphins as the OC. I mean, that experience is meaningful, and I'm sure it's a different look for James Franklin, you know, on Mike Yurcich to try to take and bounce ideas off of and to consult with them to try and make improvements week to week. You know, those adjustments are hard to make. And I think an experienced voice, you know, the one thing is, like, you know, you're bringing him in as an analyst. You're not bringing him in as your offensive coordinator or any on-field position, but it's like, boy, the coach and the OC that Adam Gase signs off on and brings everywhere he goes, is that a ringing endorsement? I mean, it's 15 years in the NFL, and that speaks volumes, and it's a huge thing. I think he has some history with James Franklin, but that's the one thing I thought is, okay, I'm not a big believer in Adam Gase, but Adam Gase was a big believer in Dow Loggins.
Is it fair to judge a guy that way, though? You know, the Jets were so bad. It's like judging Bill Belichick on this past season because they had a losing record. Oh, I wouldn't want that guy as part of my program. You know, if the team is bad, it's hard for one coach to make a difference in that group. So I think
100%. And the other thing is, you know, he's an offensive analyst with 15 years of NFL experience. You know, you take that any day of the week. I think it's a tremendous addition to that analyst position. And I think it's interesting just from his perspective, what comes after this for him. And I think maybe, you know, you see Penn State promotes from within Ty Howell. I had sworn it was Howley, but I'm wrong about that. Ty Howell makes that move from analyst to tight ends coach after 1 year. This maybe is something that opens a new door for him, or something different for him, and maybe helps him get an OC job again in the NFL or across college football. But I think it's a mutually beneficial situation.
Exactly, and I'm not making predictions here, but is it really outside the realm of possibility if Penn State's offense does really well in the next year or two, Mike Yurcich goes on to, you know, a head coaching job somewhere, and all of a sudden, here's the OC job at Penn State is open. And if this guy makes a great impression on James Franklin and he's part of this process, who knows? Maybe there's an OC job at Penn State in a couple years. The other name that's a return is Kenny Saunders. He was with Penn State for several years, not on the field, but he's going to be part of the recruiting process, Dustin. So that's an old name returning. But it kind of leads to the question with these couple new guys coming in. several other changes in the Penn State coaching staff. I think you always run the risk of losing a recruit or two who were tied to the previous position coach who left. But in the grand scheme of things, going forward, looking at this group of new coaches, is this group going to be better off? Is Penn State's program going to be better off on the recruiting front?
I mean, it's just to go one, you know, spot for spot, actually, to start with Kenny Saunders, the, you know, to bring him back after 1 year at Oregon, you know, it's that infrastructure of the recruiting machinery, you know, and I think a boost to the infrastructure of Penn State's recruiting machinery is a good thing at this point in time. I don't think 2021 or 2020 in some respects were quite what they wanted it to be. Solid classes in their own respects, but I don't think that it was quite what they wanted it to be, especially in their own backyard. So I think bringing him back is a good move, a good step in the right direction, a familiar face. And then just spot for spot on the assistants, I think Tim Banks replacing him with Anthony Poindexter is kind of, when it comes to recruiting impact, sort of a lateral move, and I think it was a good situation. He's got ties and he's got connections in Maryland and Virginia. Tim Banks was doing an incredible job, incredible work at Michigan. And I think Penn State safeties had been pretty good under his watch. So I think Poindexter, there's a shot to be an upgrade there too, with his pedigree and his playing background and a little bit of splash with him, you know, in a region where Penn State definitely wants to be. Mike Yurcich, I think, is a huge upgrade when it comes to the pizzazz and the reputation and what quarterback recruits in particular think of him. You think of him as an elite play caller, his experience and what he's done, and it gets the attention of quarterback prospects that Penn State might not have gotten their attention otherwise. We haven't seen that produce a commitment or anything like that just yet, but they're pushing hard in 2022. There's mutual interest with a bunch of good kids. And then when it comes to Ty Howell, he's starting sort of on the ground floor at this level, but to me, his career kind of reminds me already of Tyler Bowen in that offensive line background, relatable personality. He seems to me to be just beginning his climb. Got some good coaching background before he got here. So I think he can be really, really good. He's the one where, you know, they lost a commitment from Holden's days, and they had previously lost a commitment from Mega Barnwell, but he can start and build that back up. That's kind of a step backwards to maybe take a step forward.
And our buddy Andrew P. Shea, he took a little bit of a shot at Penn State fans last week when we were talking about Hal being hired, and he said, well, I'm sure Penn State fans like you, Jimmy, would be happy because it's a Penn Stater, but, and, you know, my take, I think that's undervaluing the case of having a Penn Stater there, someone who everything Hal has talked about has been his great love for the university. And when recruiting, which is selling, by the way, that's what you're doing, you're selling, I think his ability to sell the university will be very high level simply because it's so authentic and it's a guy who's lived it, you know. So I think he'll be a good recruiter, and that's partially why. You talked about Mike Yurcich being able to draw in quarterbacks with his reputation. One of the other things that came up this week, Dustin, is you can also get quarterbacks from the portal. And two names that at least Penn State fans have tied to Penn State was Alan Bowman from Texas Tech. And I believe there would be a Yurcich connection there after coaching in Texas, and I believe he had recruited him. Anyway, regardless, he made his commitment to Michigan, and Tyler Show, I believe it is, from Oregon, he committed to Texas Tech from the portal. It kind of leads us to the question, were these lost opportunities for Penn State, or is Penn State kind of waiting for the spring practice to get through when there will be more opportunities? Or might they just say, we're going to roll with what we have?
My belief, without being in the room when these guys are coaching about potential transfers, is they're more in that latter category where, yes, three scholarship quarterbacks is not ideal. Yes, Taquan Roberson hasn't taken a meaningful snap in college. Yes, we have questions about Sean Clifford. You know, we don't want a true freshman as our number three, but I don't really get the feeling that they were very serious players for these hired gun type quarterbacks. I think they could use a depth guy without a doubt. I don't think they're looking for a quarterback who's going to, you know, maybe disrupt, you know, what Sean Clifford has going on, for better or worse. I don't think they were players in bringing in a quarterback who could potentially compete with Sean Clifford. And then you have one way or the other, you have another dissatisfied customer at quarterback. I don't think they were really in the market for that. I could be wrong. Certainly they didn't get those guys, but I could see them adding just a guy. I don't know, maybe not a big name or from a Power Five conference, but somebody to bring some experience to the second or third spot on the depth chart. I think that's what they'd be in the market for.
I was thinking that, like you, that it wouldn't be someone who would challenge Sean Clifford for the starting job, but they've lost three quarterbacks, three underclassmen. I was looking for the guy who could compete with Taquan Roberson for the number two job, and maybe there's a starting job potential for that player. That would be the draw for him in 2 years or perhaps three. One last topic I wanted to hit on, Dustin, while we have the time. We don't talk basketball very often, but as the Penn State Hoops team struggles to the finish line, Jim Ferry has had the title of interim head coach for this team. They are now 8-13 overall, 5-12. Most recently, they got blown out of the gym by Purdue. Under normal circumstances, I'd say this guy really hasn't done enough to earn the full-time job, but that may not stop this athletic department from hiring them. What are your thoughts?
I mean, there is a path of least resistance slash cheapest path forward that you have to consider in this situation, just based on recent history. But there's also, I think, you know, you and I kind of talked about this a little bit. The future of this program depends on your ability to not just this hiring cycle, but in future hiring cycles, unless somebody comes in and dramatically changes the trajectory of the program. You have to be able to go down the ranks a little bit and find a young coach who would love the opportunity in the Big Ten. There's a lot to love about that. You succeed at Penn State, you can go a lot of places, you can do a lot of things. But somebody who isn't a big name, who's an up-and-comer, you mine for talent, you find the right guy who fits your program perfectly, has some ability, has some talent, and takes you to another level. That's what they need to be looking for, and I do think they will be looking for that type of person, and I don't think Jim Ferry's coming back on a permanent basis.
I hope whoever they bring in is able to recruit. That's the most important thing in basketball, just as it is in football. That's it for quarter number one, news and notes. Stick around. Dustin and I are going to talk about our man crushes.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.